This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our election coverage today with the candidates who are running for Hamilton County Commissioner. You'll hear our interviews in the order they were recorded. Joining me in this recorded interview is Hamilton County Commission Vice President Denise Driehouse, the incumbent Democratic candidate for the term that starts January 3rd. Thanks for being here, Commissioner Driehouse.
Yeah, I'm pleased to be here. Thanks, Lucy.
You've been on the commission since 2016. Why did you seek the office, and why do you continue to want to serve?
So I sought the office just to continue the work. Remember, I was a state representative before that, and so getting a lot of stuff done at the state level, but then was asked to think about doing something at the county level, and I thought, oh, well, let me look into that and see what that means. And so I did, and come to find out it's a really big job with a lot of really important things. So I decided to do it, and I'm running now to just to continue the work, to continue the forward movement.
What are the biggest concerns you're hearing from Hamilton County residents when you go out and talk to them, and how do you plan to address those?
So I hear quite a bit about addiction and mental health, both from old people and young people. And so I do think we need to pay some attention to these issues. I'm the chair of the Hamilton County Addiction Response Coalition, and so we are working collectively with prevention and treatment, law enforcement, public health, faith community, business community. I mean, everybody's at the table. It's a bunch of experts looking to solve the issue, connect the gaps, and figure out how to save lives and get people into treatment. And also, not secondarily, I think it's like on the same level, reduce the stigma related to addiction or mental health in this community so that people feel like they can talk about it, feel like they can access resources, because without that, people are kind of living these lives on their own and they don't seek out help, and that's not helpful. And so that's particularly related to addiction, but the mental health space is also important, and we're hearing from a lot of young people about how they're struggling. And so we are part of a collaborative in the community. The county's in. JFS is kind of the nexus, the touch point, but we're in that conversation too, to feel like, you know, what can we do to help these young people, you know, address some of these challenges that they have. There's a lot of suicidal ideation right now, so these are the kinds of things people are talking about in the community.
As the Bengals' lease with Hamilton County for Paycor Stadium nears its end, how would you approach negotiations with the Bengals, and what are your priorities for the county's relationship with the team and any potential new lease?
This is the other thing I hear about in the community. there are two things, really. There's the one piece is, what are we going to do with the asset? What are we going to do with the stadium? The county taxpayers own that asset, and the county commissioners help manage that. And so the idea is to create an asset that is something we can use for game days, but also for other things, whether it's other kinds of games or it's concerts, make that facility more accessible for those events, literally more accessible for all people, but also more accessible and in tune with what we want to use it for, and have that thing churning out, you know, business more than just a few days a year for football games. So that's number one. And we've got a plan in front of us. It was delivered to us by some architects, but both the Bengals and the county enlisted to do that work. And so they've seen it, we've seen it. And so now we are setting up meetings to discuss it and feel like, you know, how can we move forward together? And then the other piece is a lease. And, you know, people in this community are very familiar with the tenants of this lease. It was not a lease that's favorable to the taxpayers. And so we are looking to do better and also get a long-term commitment from the Bengals. You know, if we're going to make those kinds of investments in the stadium, which is our asset, along with them, and by the way, the stack for any financial improvements, we hope will be the team, the NFL, the county, in the state of Ohio. We already have a track record, most recently, of doing projects, and we've got $80 million worth of projects going on right now. And the stack is, half of it is the Bengals and the NFL, and the other half is the county. So we're already doing better than what we had been doing, which was 95% was the county and 5% was the Bengals, right? So we're already doing better, and I'm hoping that's the precursor going into this lease conversation, where we say, you know, we are still willing to invest. The voters voted for a sales tax to, you know, maintain those stadiums. So recognize that, but we're not going to raise any more taxes for this, right? We're going to live within our means and expect that the Bengals, the NFL, and the state also help participate in that financial stack.
So is that your priority for the relationship, just to have the financial commitments spread among more than just the county and the Bengals?
I think my priority for the relationship is one of cooperation, where we are addressing the financial stack for the stadium, but also the lease, which, you know, the county is not getting much revenue from the lease, from things like parking and concessions. And the Bengals have a lot of control over that asset, and it's the county asset. So we need to do better in that space, make sure that we're using that for other things, as I said, like concerts that drive all kinds of economic activity for the region and for especially that area on the banks. And so that's my hope as we move into serious negotiations with the Bengals.
What leverage do you believe the county has and is willing to exercise to get a better deal with the team?
Well, it's the amount of money that we are willing to commit through the sales tax that's already been voted in for the capital improvements to the place they call home. And so what we are looking for from them in turn is a lease that reflects that commitment. So, you know, a long-term lease, not a two-year or five-year lease, you know, longer than that, because if we're going to commit those dollars, we expect to see a reciprocal nod in that agreement that says, we see that and we are going to participate in something that's long-term. So that's the goal.
Let's talk about another big ticket item, and that is Hamilton County and Cincinnati are working on a historic multi-billion dollar sewer system upgrade. How would you keep that project on time without overburdening ratepayers?
This is the ultimate question always, is striking this balance between what we know we have to do by way of the consent decree, which is a federal mandate, unfunded mandate from the federal government to separate the stormwater and the sewage. It's not a bad idea. They just didn't give us any money to do it, right? And so in the meantime, we've got asset management. We've got a very old sewer system, and we need to maintain it. And so we have some real costs, and it's very expensive to maintain the system. The other piece, though, is affordability. And so we were able to keep rates flat for my first few years on as a county commissioner. We have raised rates very, very incrementally as we've gone, like 3%, so they're fairly low. But we do need to address both of these things, the asset management and the consent decree. But we are doing that. I think the top priority really is to keep the rates as low as possible. And so we're already doing that. And then we're also advocating to the state to see if we can carve out certain populations, you know, folks that are struggling, senior citizens, kind of like the homestead exemption, and say, is there a way to reduce those rates a little bit so that those folks, you know, aren't so overburdened that they're thinking about moving?
Mm-hmm. The rising property tax rates that so many homeowners are facing have brought new attention to the levies that property owners pay. What criteria will you use to evaluate and vote on tax levies the commission is responsible for putting on the ballot?
So this has been the way I've approached these for the entire 8 years I've been on the county commission. So we have control over 7 levies. We do not have control over all the levies. I just want to be very clear, because some of the levies that have gone on the ballot most recently for the biggest increases are not under the control of the county commission. And so my priorities have always been children and seniors first. So those two went with an increase, modest increases. And then we have done something for mental health. We've got DD, people with disabilities, and family services, which is related to addiction, on the ballot this year. Those are going flat. Again, it's this nod to, you know, some people just got this increased in their property values and the property taxes, and some people are really struggling. And so the Tax Levy Review Commission, which is a board that we've got to help us make recommendations, recommended they run flat. And so that's what we're taking to the voters, and I think that's appropriate. So there is all, it's again, it's this balance between what people can afford and these really important services that these levies provide, because these are services that are for the least among us, the people that are most challenged. And so I do think we need to be sensitive to that within reason, you know, within the relativity of what the taxpayers can afford. I do also want to say that the vast majority of people's property taxes are not going to county levies. They are going to school districts and they are going to municipalities. We are very, very tiny slivers when you look at that pie chart.
The commission's been made up of all Democrats for a number of years now. Is there room for a diversity of perspectives in that makeup?
I'm always interested in a diversity of perspectives. And so right now I'm going out to visit all 49 jurisdictions in the county. I do love it. It's fun. I did it back in 2017 when I was first elected, just to introduce myself and get to know people and create relationships. So I'm going out again. I've been doing it for about a year now. It takes a long time to get out to everybody, but I'm close now. And so what you may know about the county is that it's not all Democrats and it's not all Republicans. It's a very diverse county, depending on where you are, right? And so Lincoln Heights is not the same as Anderson Township, is not the same as Crosby Township or Gulf Manor or Deer Park. I mean, you know, there's such diversity. And so I do think that it's important as a county commissioner that I am out engaging in those conversations. And so not just having conversations with kind of the bubble that's downtown, you know, at the county building, but rather going out to all 49 jurisdictions and saying, hey, you know, we're here to partner. What do you need from us? How can we do better? And did you know that this is available? We can buy salt together. We can maintain fire hydrants for you. I mean, what can we do together to save money and to create these relationships? And so I take that really seriously. And so I'm, you know, many of these places are Republican dominated places, especially those townships. But I got to tell you, every time I walk there, they're like, oh, Commissioner Driehaus is here, you know, so they welcome me with open arms, and I really am grateful for that. And so I just give them all the information I can, and we have a dialogue.
Yeah. If you win this election, re-election, what will your priority be on day one?
So right now we have a structurally balanced budget, which I'm really, really proud of. Couldn't say that a few years ago. And so I am very interested in maintaining that, maintaining county services. And I know that sounds a little dry, but when you think about what we do, these are 911 workers. These are the deputies in the Justice Center. These are the folks that are going out into the community, making sure that kids are safe. I mean, these are really important jobs. And so I think it is really important for a county commissioner to make sure they are competitively paid. We've got a parental leave policy. We've got tuition reimbursement. So we are recruiting and retaining people in the organization like we've not before. And it also allows us to diversify who works for us. So we've got young people, people of color, women, men, yeah, everybody's coming in. And we've become an employer of choice. We've changed the culture at the county and made sure people feel welcome. And that will continue to be one of my top priorities, because that is how you serve the citizens of the county, is by having great people working for the county with some experience in those positions.
Well, I have been talking with Hamilton County Commissioner Denise Driehaus. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Lucy.
Up next, we continue our interviews with the candidates. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with more on the Hamilton County Commissioner race. Joining me in this recorded interview is Adam Kaler, the Republican candidate for the term that starts January 3rd. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lucy.
What led you to seek a seat on the Hamilton County Commission?
Well, I've been involved in other races before, and you know, the GOP, they have a tough time in Hamilton County, and I've always lived in the city, and I live just down in Mount Auburn. So I was available, and you know, I'm into politics. So, you know, we need a Republican. My thing is always, you can't just let a seat go with no competition. It's just not good for democracy. Let the voters speak, get the other candidate to spend some money, get them to come out, talk to the voters. You know, if they go unopposed, then yeah, just walk into the seat. Why go listen to their constituents? So, you know, my thing is at least give them some competition.
What are the biggest concerns you're hearing from Hamilton County residents as you're talking to them, and how do you plan to address those?
Yeah, well, like I said, I've lived in the city my whole life. You never stop hearing about crime. And I just left an event. Jim Neal was there. He was talking about what he's going to do when he becomes, you know, county sheriff again. And it's always been a problem. I mean, we had a bullet come through our bedroom window not too long ago. We had a drive-by catty-cornered from our house. My neighbor Shorty was cleaning up bullet shell casings the other day. My neighbor two doors down from her son was shot and killed on August 20th on East Clifton. She's been mourning his death, and she was crying on my stairs the other day.
I'm so sorry.
It's issues like that, you know, that really drive me crazy. I mean, I grew up in Price Hill, went to school in Over the Rhine for 8 years. I've always kind of been in the urban core. And it just, nothing seems to change. And, you know, that's the big thing I always hear, especially from Republicans. I don't think a lot of Democrats, and I grew up around nothing but Democrats, but I think, you know, we have a tendency, we could live in a bubble and you don't really get to understand, why are people leaving for Claremont County? Why are they leaving for Northern Kentucky? And a lot of times you'll hear the same thing over and over again. It's crime. It's the condition of the schools. You know, they move their wealth and their business out of the county, and we rely on those tax dollars for all these services. And, you know, when they leave, we should listen. We should say, hey, what's wrong? Well, they feel underrepresented right now. So that's just another reason I want to run and at least give them the sense that there is somebody on county commission or city council that actually wants to hear their issues and will actually take them seriously.
So what would you do to address crime if you win this race?
Well, I know we don't have a lot to do with the public schools. I'm a product of the public schools. Luckily, I went to the to school for the Great Informing Arts, which is outstanding, guys. If Walnut, SCPA, outstanding. And every kid in those schools had a dream, right? Like, I wanted to be an artist. Well, I've owned an ad agency for 14 years, which led me into being a designer for a startup that eventually built up to over 100 employees. We sold that in 2015. And you know, I was early on in that. But that dream led me to so many other things. But I had a path. When you're young, you have no idea what you want to do. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the young people in our community, they don't have a vision for what they want to do. They're around poverty. I grew up in poverty, single mom. My dad didn't pay child support. We were, you know, in a one-bedroom apartment, four of us. And I didn't know how the world worked. No one around me knew how the world worked. My mom was poor. She worked seasonally at the IRS. She was on unemployment part of the year. I had to figure things out on my own, which was very difficult. But I was pointed in the right direction thanks to some really good teachers at the School for the Great Performing Arts. I want to find those opportunities. I want to take, I'd love to create programs that help these kids. When I was young, nobody at the county ever sent me a brochure and said, hey, there's these great programs available to your kid if they're interested in becoming an entrepreneur or, you know, anything outside of selling drugs. Like, just don't get out on the corner. But unfortunately, a lot of our young people now, they lead their lives, lead them into that, right? And half of the budget for Hamilton County goes to the criminal justice system. I'd love for that to get down to zero if we possibly could. I mean, it's never going to get down to zero, but I'd love for to shrink that and put that into programs that are actually going to help these kids lead productive lives and be productive taxpayers in our county.
As the Bengals' lease with Hamilton County for Paycor Stadium nears its end, how would you approach negotiations with the team, and what are your priorities for the county's relationship with the Bengals and any potential new lease?
Yeah, so here's the thing. So the Bengals put in around $125 million. That money is actually comes from a pool of money, of funds, a program called G5. And that G5 money is future revenue, future profit-sharing revenue from the league that comes to the Bengals that they will give them for repairing stadiums and things like that. So it's not necessarily coming out of Mike Brown's pocket. It's coming from the league. And you know, he's, you know, crying poor that he doesn't have any money to spend on the team. And he was just named one of the richest people in the world, as we all know. Well, that wealth is, a lot of it is tied up in the Bengals. And one of the biggest problems right now with his cash flow is he has to put so much money for guaranteed contracts into an escrow account to make sure it's there. That was something that the NFL Players Association makes them do. So he's going to kind of fall back on something like that. One of the things is the county spends so much money on social services every year. Well, you got all these players, you got the Bengals themselves. They all have their own separate charities. Why can't the Bengals take some of the pressure on the players, take some of the pressure off of the county? If we're going to spend all this money, which we've already been, it's all coming from sales tax anyway. They never stop taxing us, right? So, you know, when they say no new taxes on, you know, it's true, but we've been taxed. So we keep getting taxed. But the thing is you're not going to get any money from the NFL because you're not significantly increasing the fan experience. That's the only time they're going to give you money. If you build a new stadium, you significant, and I don't know what their, you know, what their plan is for significantly, what that even means. But, you know, trying to go to the NFL and getting any money, I commend Alicia Reese for that. I don't know if she's going to get anything, unfortunately. So it's probably going to come from the taxpayer. But can we get the Bengals and these players to offset some of these costs we have as taxpayers in other areas? So that's one thing I would love to ask Mike Brown about.
And what kind of leverage do you think the county has and that you'd be prepared to exercise to get a better deal with the team?
So we have no leverage. They're going to move to Mexico City if we don't come up with the upgrades for the state. It's just the way it is. So, and they know we have the money because we've been taxing people the whole time. Now, one of the things you could do is you could tokenize the value of the team. So the NFL has a rule that they only want to deal with one person. They don't want to deal with a group of investors. What you could do is you could tokenize the value team, essentially crowdsource the value of the team, and the Art Modell rule would kick in. If you were able to raise enough money to purchase the team for Mike Brown, it makes it much harder for him to leave, because if there is a qualified offer, he has to take it in lieu of leaving. So that's one thing. The only way you're going to get leverage is if there's another buyer who's local to here. I mean, I don't know how many billionaires we have running around Cincinnati anymore, but some of them already own the soccer team, but I don't know if they're in the market for a football team. So you have to get leverage by having enough money or having something in place to where you can actually purchase the team. And it is possible, because what happens is you crowdfund the money you put into a trust, like a special purpose vehicle. That special purpose vehicle has a board and has a president. That president is the person who interacts with the NFL. Instead of asking the NFL for money, we should ask the NFL to loosen up that rule so that we could crowdfund from fans and essentially purchase that team through a special purpose vehicle.
We have about 4 minutes left, and we have got several more questions to get through. Hamilton County and Cincinnati are working on a historic multi-billion-dollar sewer system upgrade. Mm. How would you keep the project on time without overburdening ratepayers?
Nothing's ever on time. I mean, it's you're working with the government. It's really, really tough. I mean, you have to have key performance indicators in place, right? You have to have tough timelines. You have to hold people accountable. And it's hard to hold people accountable when they have city, county, government jobs, right? They're not going to get fired anyway, a lot of them. So, that makes it really, really tough. I mean, I've built businesses before. We've had technology. We're doing another startup right now. We have developers, designers, people across the world that we have to coordinate. One of the things is use technology to keep those things on track. You have communication. That's what you have to really do. You have to improve the communication. We have to also work with the EPA. The EPA is very much involved in this situation, but I will tell you, we have aging infrastructure in this city. If we don't start figuring things out, you don't want the sewage water and in the drainage from rainwater and everything mixing together. I mean, it's going to be a complete nightmare here. I mean, we don't want to be Flint, Michigan next, right? So we need better communication. We need better tools. We need people who understand technology to put things in place that can make projects like this go smoothly and add a layer of accountability.
The rising property tax rates that so many homeowners are facing have brought new attention to the levies that property owners pay. What criteria would you use to evaluate and vote on tax levies that the commission is responsible for putting on the ballot?
You asked me earlier, what's some of the biggest problems you see people facing right now is property taxes. I mentioned crime, I mentioned the schools, I mentioned people leaving. Unfortunately, if they leave Hamilton County, they're going to go to another county where it has the same problem, right? The problem in the city of Cincinnati is we had a 20-year ceiling on property taxes here. It was $29 million. Unfortunately, city council, and they've got budget issues, voted 6-3 to get rid of that cap, which was at $29 million. And that was a 20-year cap. In 2020, as people's properties were being reassessed, one of the biggest problems, and I'd encourage you, anytime you get a reassessment, challenge it if you can, right? Because what had happened was properties were at their peak. They were at their peak value when they were being reassessed. Property values have come down a bit, right? So unfortunately, the property taxes, they don't just affect property owners. They're going to affect renters as well.
Commission has been made up of all Democrats for a number of years now. It was controlled by Republicans for many years before that. What perspective do you want to bring to the office if you win?
I just want balance. To be honest with you, I think when there's gridlock, it's actually beneficial. I mean, I don't know how many of your listeners know this, but, I was part of a PAC, Republicans, Democrats, charter rights, that fought against the rail deal. One of my biggest problems with the rail deal is you're making 6.5% on money that inflates the things that you're buying in the future, inflate at 6.5 to 8%. So you're always going to be behind the eight ball. And you have to manage that money. So now you're not managing a rail, which you were never managing in the first place. But instead of managing that, now you're managing a portfolio of cash against items like asphalt, concrete, steel, union labor that inflated at a higher rate than what you're making. So things like that just go right through. And then you've got $6 million in advertising money that to convince people that it's a great idea when it wasn't. So you have situations like that that come up, and you need somebody, anybody on the other side, just to raise their hand, like Scotty Johnson did, who's actually a Democrat, and say, hey, guys, we should look at this. Let's slow it down. Right. Okay. We need people like that.
And in just about 30 seconds, if you win this election, what's your number one priority?
I'd love to audit everything that's going on, to be honest with you. I want to look at all the things that we are spending money on right now in the county that are inefficient.
Well, I've been talking with Adam Kaler, a Republican candidate for Hamilton County Commissioner. Thanks so much for your time today.
Sure thing, Lucy. Thanks so much.
Libertarian Leandro Lombi is also a candidate in this race. For more election information, check out our WVXU election guide on our website, wvxu.org. Up next, we'll hear about a podcast that digs deep into our region's need for housing. This is Cincinnati Edition.